till the storm passes by. Oh, hold me fast, let me stand in the hollow of thy hand. Keep me safe.
Turn to the book of Romans. Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5 and verse 1 says this: Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's go to the Lord one more time briefly in prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, I thank you for this beautiful day that you've given us in this morning. Thank you for the freedom and the opportunity that we have to come out and worship you this morning, to sing your praises and to read from your word, Lord. I pray that your hand will be upon the rest of this service, that whatever is said and done will bring honor and glory to you. We thank you again for your many blessings, and I pray in Jesus' name, amen. More than likely familiar scripture to most of us here. And it's on a topic that has been preached about and taught about countless times. And that's the topic of peace. You know, in the world that we live in today, people are striving for peace. With recent tragedies that you've seen there in Boston and so many other things going on around the world, the world is hungry for peace and truly hungry for peace. But you know, in over some 3,100 years of recorded history, the world has only been at peace, truly at peace, for about 8% of that time. So only about 286 years. And when you look at it that way, it kind of seems like, well, you know, it's kind of a hopeless cause. But if you know the Lord today, as this verse says, if you have been justified by faith, then you can have peace. I'm going to talk about that peace this morning. First of all, as we've seen in Romans chapter 5 and verse 1, it says that we can have peace with God. Of course, this comes from our salvation. And for those of us that have been saved, this is the peace that has come in our past. I came across a story of a young dock worker and who had heard a minister deliver a sermon that was based on Romans 5:1, this very verse that we've read this morning. And this dock worker was impressed with this truth that he could have peace with God only through the merits of the Lord Jesus. But he didn't trust him as his personal savior at that time. The next day, the man joined a crew and sailed on a steamship. And a short time later, this steamship came upon a storm. Several months passed, and a sailor came to the clergyman and inquired if he was the same pastor that this other dock worker had spoken about, and he said, "Yes, I am, actually." And this other man said, "Well, I've come to tell you that I talked and prayed with a young man on board this steamship who had heard you preach on this very verse. And he was concerned about his soul, but he didn't quite understand the plan of salvation. And, well, I finished what you had began, and I led him to the Savior. And it was only a few minutes later that we were shipwrecked, and he and I were told to launch one of the lifeboats, and while doing so, he said to me, 'If you get to shore, be sure and tell this pastor that I've been saved.' Somehow he failed to get into the lifeboat in time, and we had to row away to keep from being capsized by the suction of the sinking ship. But the last that I saw of him, he was up in the rigging of the doomed vessel. He was waving his hat, and he was shouting to me above the noise of the waters, 'Being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ.'" Truly today, even though the world will not know peace or true peace in this time, we can truly have peace with God during our salvation and through our salvation. Ephesians 2:14 says, "For he is our peace, who hath made both one and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us." We can not only have peace in the past with God through our salvation, but we can also have peace of God. And this comes through our dedication to him. Philippians 4 verse 6 through 7. For sake of time, I'll just read it. You don't have to turn there if you don't want to. But Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 says this: Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Verse 7 says this: And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Came across a story of an Australian pastor named McCartney, and he visited the great missionary Hudson Taylor while Taylor was in China. And he was amazed at the missionary's serenity in spite of his many burdens and his busy schedule. This pastor finally asked him, and he said, "You are occupied with millions, and I only with 10. Your letters are pressingly important, and mine of comparatively little value. Yet I am worried and distressed while you are always calm. Tell me, what makes the difference?" And Taylor replied to him, "I cannot possibly get through the work that I have to do without the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keeping my heart and mind." McCartney later wrote about Hudson Taylor and said that he was in God all the time, and God was in him. Truly, as we are found in him and doing his will in every present situation, we have a peace that can pass all understanding. John 15, and verse 7 through 11 says this: "If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples, as the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love, if ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments, and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full." In the past, we gain peace with God through our salvation. In the present, we can gain peace of God through our dedication to him. There is coming a peace in the future in God. As I said, this world will not know peace. People will try to gain peace through this world, but the Bible tells us that true peace will not come until the Lord returns. Isaiah chapter 2 and verse 4 says, "And he will judge among the nations and shall rebuke many people. And they shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more." Truly, there is coming a peace, and for those that believe, such as the world has never before known. It is a day when the Prince of Peace, as the Bible calls him, shall rule and reign, and we shall know the peace of God truly. For us today, though, we can have peace with God. And these words today are just going to be words to you, unless you have accepted him as your Savior, unless you have that peace in your heart with God. Came across a poem by Helen Rice that says this: "Whenever I'm troubled and lost in deep despair, I bundle all my troubles up and I go to God in prayer. I tell him I'm heartsick and lost and lonely too, that I'm deeply burdened and I don't know what to do. But I know he stilled the tempest and calmed the angry sea. And I humbly ask if in his love he'll do the same for me. Then I just keep quiet and I think on thoughts of peace. And as I abide in stillness, my restless murmurings cease." I ask you this morning, if you haven't accepted his free gift of salvation, it's so easy. As this story I spoke about this dock worker, you can hear it all you want. You can listen to it, you can talk about it, but until you truly believe and come to him, this peace that I've talked about is just what it is. It's just what I've talked about. It's just what you've heard. You won't experience it until you truly accept him. So I beg of you this morning, please do that. Brother Ken.